Hello, and welcome to Deliverability Defined. My name is Alyssa.
And I'm Melissa.
And we have a guest named Sean.
Hi, everybody.
Yay. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, excited to be here. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you here. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of the episode, we'll do some light banter. Sean, how are you doing today?
I am doing good. St. Patty's Day this past weekend, and my wife is an Irish dancer, so it's like a very busy weekend with, she coaches Irish dance too.
What?
That's amazing.
Yeah, so it was super fun. A lot of outdoor shows, the weather was great, and my son is like 1.5, and he hasn't really seen her dance yet, so it was really cool to see him watch her dance the first time. It was very cute. He was like banging his feet and stuff.
That's adorable.
So I'm doing great. I had a really nice weekend, and feeling recharged.
I love that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good luck topping that, Melissa. But yeah, go ahead. How are you doing?
Oh, wow. Well, the weather here was amazing also. So I was just outside all weekend. I also feel like that was recharging and just really nice. And I'm traveling this weekend to go see my closest friend. So I'm really excited to do that. So it's a good week. I can't complain.
Yay. I'm so happy you have good weather. I feel like I can just tell when you're having good weather. You're like,
I know,
so bright and bubbly and happy.
I've listened to the podcast before, especially in the last year. And there's lots of Melissa saying, I need the sun. Where's the sun? So I'm glad it's here for you.
I never really thought I had like seasonal depression until I moved to Washington. And I feel like I don't give it enough credit because like, I feel like winter anywhere can be tough, but there are just some days where you're like, all right, I feel like I'm living with like a cloud just over my head constantly. So I'm very happy. What about you, Alyssa?
Yeah, similar. Great weather, which was awesome. I don't know if I said this last week on the podcast, but James, my son, he's, I'm so lost on the months now. 20, is he 20?
Almost two.
2 months? He's almost two. That's what I've been telling everyone. He'll be two in a couple months. So
crazy.
He is literally obsessed with playgrounds. Like playgrounds are life. And he just playground, playground, playground. That's all he wants. And he, once he's at a playground, like he'll want to be there for a bit. And then he's like, another playground. So we playground hopped all weekend, basically. I think I went to 4 in one day on Sunday.
Oh my gosh. God.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is fun, but exhausting. And then, you know, I'm like, oh, well, it's the simple things. Like I don't have to worry about him being like iPad yet. You know, it's just a playground. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I can deal with that. And it's good for him. So that was mainly it, is running around with him. I don't think anything else exciting happened. We're trying to find a minivan, which is kind of our fun adventure right now. And so Thomas spent a lot of the day Sunday like haggling with someone, and he's still haggling with them over a text message. And I'm just like, oh, just I want to get a van.
You two and your adventures of buying things from people is, I think you should.
Oh, I have an update.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
On the Pilates machine.
Yeah.
Oh,
I want to hear it.
On Facebook Marketplace. So Sean, to catch you up, this happened in an episode that I think is not released yet. I bought a Pilates machine off Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
Like never used it. Never used it. It was torture to move.
There was a lot of regrets.
Yeah.
It was terrible. It was heavy. We had to stick it in my husband's pickup truck. It didn't fit. It was hanging out the back. It was terrible.
Yeah. If it's like the ones in the gym, it's like a straps everywhere and big bench. Yeah.
Yeah. So I felt embarrassed. I never used it. It was terrible. It was taking up huge space in our bedroom, which like I'm about to need to have a baby bassinet there soon. So it was just terrible. But guess what? I made money. I knew I would.
Woo!
So I sold it for more money than I bought it for. And that made me feel so much better about it. And it sold in like 4 hours.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Only had to talk to one person. She took it.
That's amazing.
I feel a lot better.
Must have a good copy on that that Facebook ad, right?
Honestly, I was just like, this is heavy.
Yeah.
You need help.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's a win. And yeah, now we're trying to buy something else. So we'll see how that goes.
Nice.
Hopefully we will not regret it.
I don't think the minivan will be a regret. Minivans are great.
Yeah.
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 I think so too.
Keep us updated on
I will
all this. I'm invested.
Okay. I will. Well, let's hop into the actual reason we're here. I'm so excited to talk more to Sean Stewart, who this is just kind of like a fun story of how we met, and he just is like blowing me away constantly. He heard a podcast episode I was on with Amy Porterfield. If you haven't listened to that yet, go check it out. We talk about Yahoo Goal stuff mostly. But Sean listened and then reached out to me with the most amazing potential course outline for me to use for deliverability. He mentioned it as a flywheel to get more subscribers. And I was just like, this is amazing. I've always wanted to do something like that. And so to have him like lay it out for me was so helpful. And then as I'm planning podcast episodes, I'm like, hello, we need Sean to tell us about how to create like an email course flywheel to get more subscribers.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I would be happy to like use that as an example today, because there's a few like practical steps we'll go through about how to make an email course and stuff. And it'll be good to have that as a backdrop.
Love it.
Since you're actually thinking about making it. So cool.
Yes. And I'm curious for you to tell us more about your background. Like, how did you get to this place where you are such an expert on email courses?
Yeah. So it's kind of a roundabout background. First 8 years of my career or so, I was a high school counselor and sort of always dabbling in the creatorverse on the side there, you know, whether I was creating things myself or helping other creators grow their business. And really liked that, liked like the challenge and puzzle of that and making systems and stuff. But there was always a part of it that like, and it was the marketing and the selling part that made me feel like a little icky or like, this isn't quite me. I couldn't put my finger on it. Like I would take these courses, like how to grow your audience on social media, how to do a product launch, and would do it. And like my stomach would hurt. I'm like, this doesn't feel like me. This is weird. And then I kind of had this shift like a few years ago where I realized I could bring in a lot of what I do as a counselor and what I like as a counselor and building relationships with people and helping them solve problems and just kind of being more myself in that. And that felt really good and it worked better. So that was kind of a double bonus there. So fast forward a couple of years and I'm now the marketing director at an integrated practice, health practice in the DC area. And in the last year, I've been helping a lot of creators build these email courses. And I'm really excited to talk about email courses today because one, I think they are like one of the most overlooked, underrated things. I know they've been around a while, so it's not like they're a hidden thing, but I think it's such a great opportunity for every business that's online, but especially creator businesses. And two, because it kind of fits in with that whole empathy-based marketing thing I was talking about, where it feels better. You're starting off relationships with helping people with value versus them feeling like they're being pushed through a marketing funnel.
I love that.
I love that so much. That's exactly what we try and preach.
Yeah, exactly. I was like already like just you hearing you explain it in that way and setting the foundation, I already can think of like so many creators that I follow who I really just like as people and how I feel like they're missing this opportunity.
Yeah.
For this kind of like, I know you have written here in the way you have it written in the outline we're looking at is like shift to empathy-led marketing. And that is, I just think like, especially when we talk about there's someone on the other side of the email address and that whole thing we say all the time, like I look at these creators and I'm like, oh my gosh, you have me captured already. Like just you, like a course would be something I would sign up for. And it's just crazy because I feel like they're just missing this like amazing opportunity.
Yeah. There's so many amazing creators I've talked to who are like the most genuine people and have these great things to share. But for some reason, like we're conditioned. It's not for some reason. It's because a lot of marketing is like where you like you're in your creator hat and you're teaching and you're like amazing at it and you have these gifts and then you like sit down at the computer and all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to do marketing now. And it comes out as this like just sort of weird feeling thing. And email courses are a great way to like create these doorways into your world that are you, that are like genuine and welcoming people and helping people. So yeah, it's definitely an opportunity that a lot more creators can and should take advantage.
I love that so much. We just recorded an episode that's not out yet, but if you're listening to this one right now, then it is out. And we talk about this, like shifting away from thinking about like your goal and how you're going to make your goal happen and shift to your subscriber's goal. Like, what do they need? What do they want? And if you take that approach, then you get rid of the weird marketing salesy stuff that's just trying to meet your own needs. And I feel like it's way more successful.
Yeah. If you want to dive deeper, by the way, just for listeners into this empathy-based marketing thing, Seth Godin's really good, writes about it a lot. Andre Chaperon is who introduced me to it, but he writes really brilliantly about this. Rob Hardy is someone else on Twitter who talks about it a lot. They all have kind of different words for it, but it's the same idea. You're leading with value before asking for anything in return. So instead of like, buy something from me and then here's the value, it's no, I'm going to help you first. And whether money changes hands or not, like I'm here for you. It's that and like really caring about the person on the other side of the email, on the other side of the screen and the experience that they're having. So it's not just how can I increase conversion rate or open rate? You know, those things are important to look at to make decisions, but you know, you could have a really high open rate on an email where the subject line is like, you know, really clickbaity or something.
Take action now.
Exactly. Yeah. There's actually a company, I got this email a couple of weeks ago. I won't say the company name, but they kind of messed up. They sent an email with the subject line. I guess it's some meme I'm not familiar with, but it said like, you've been caught in 4K or something, which I think is a meme or something.
Oh, interesting.
And that was the subject line. And then like 2 hours later, they had like an apology email because like they have an older client base probably. And they're like, are you in my webcam?
Oh my gosh. So,
oh my God.
No. Yeah.
But very high open rate, I'm sure. So the point there is that like, it's not all about the numbers. It's also about, it's more about the one-on-one and the person on the other side of the screen.
Yeah. So speaking of that, can you tell us like, what are the benefits of doing an email course? Out of all the things someone could be doing, why should they take this approach?
Yeah. Do you mind if I start with a little story here?
Please do.
To lead us into it.
We love a story.
Yes. So I made up the story. It's not a real story. It's like a fable, but it has a little lesson to it that I think demonstrates why I like email courses and why they tend to work really well. Okay. So imagine you are a millennial and you broke your toilet. And because you have you're a millennial, you don't know how to fix toilets. So you like watch a YouTube video, you figure out that you need what's called a toilet flapper. And you go to the hardware store and you're looking for this toilet flapper. And as soon as you walk in, big signs everywhere, 10% off store wide. You're like, great, I'm going to get a little discount. You keep looking, you walk through the store and you're looking for the toilet aisle, but you're still not really sure like how to fix it or what kind of toilet flapper you need. You know, the video wasn't that clear, but you're going to give it a shot. And you finally find the toilet aisle. And so you're there, you're about to walk into the toilet aisle and an employee jumps in front of you with a big sign and says, we have a free hardware tips newsletter. Join our newsletter for free tips every week. And you're like, no, thanks. I just kind of want to fix my toilet. So you keep moving. Turns out it's just toilet bowls in that aisle. There's no flappers. So you're kind of peeved at this point. You're like, no toilet flappers here. Employee jumped in my face. I'm going to go to the hardware store down the street. So you go to the other hardware store. And as soon as you walk in, this super nice person in an apron walks up. Got sawdust. It looks like they've been fixing cabinets for like 100 years. They just look like they know what they're doing. And they say, are you a millennial with a broken toilet? And you're like, oh my gosh, yes, I am. That's exactly what I am. And you're like, how did you know? And they say, you just have the look. So follow me. Like, I'm going to show you where the flappers are. I'll tell you what kind to get. And although we're on our way there, I'll tell you some common mistakes to avoid so you don't get sprayed. And by the way, when you get home, here's my personal phone number. If you have any trouble, give me a call. Okay, so two stores, two experiences, probably see where this is going. But when you need anything from a hardware store the rest of your life, like which one are you going to go to?
Mm-hmm.
Like number two.
I love that.
Yeah. And if your friend's toilet breaks next week, where are you going to tell them to go? Second one. And really the lesson here is just that solving problems for people, like real problems for people and building relationships with them, is how you create lifelong fans who are going to tell other people, who are going to create that flywheel for you, that referral flywheel. And it feels good too. I mean, not only is it the most effective way to grow a business, but it feels genuine and it feels good. And the beauty of email courses is that they let you do that at scale. So it's like having this little copy of you who is an expert at all the things you're an expert at, who will work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and welcome everyone into your world with this amazing like course that where you're teaching them, where you're solving a problem for them and building a relationship. And you can do this for dozens of people a day, hundreds of people a day. So that's why I'm so excited about email courses. And that's kind of the main thing they do. We can talk about some other benefits, but just wanted to start with that story.
I love it so much.
Yeah, I just talked to Alyssa, actually, I think it's an episode that will be coming out soon, but about one of the things that you said in that story that I think is so important that people kind of maybe like skip over or they just don't take the time to like reflect on is naming the kind of person that you are. So like you said, oh, are you a millennial who has a broken toilet? And like, I think that's the validation aspect of, oh, you know who I am or what problem I'm having. Like there's something so validating, especially in a world that is so social media heavy, that is different from maybe a sponsored ad. They're like, oh, I like the picture of this item. but it doesn't, there's no like personal connection to that. And so like the opportunity for creators to talk about or like name who that person is or name what they can do for a specific kind of person is very validating. And I feel like in today's world. So I just wanted to call that out because I think that's a lot of this, something I don't see senders do often, because I don't think they spend a lot of time trying to picture that, which we talked about in our last episode, I think, Alyssa.
Yes. These episodes are perfect back to back, which our last episode was about basically that subscriber focus instead of being focused on what your goals are. And
oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is like the perfect story for that situation. And I think a lot of people treat their email list like that first store you talked about, where it's just like, hey, you, whoever you are, sign up for this newsletter. It's about this, 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 instead of thinking about like what you just said, Melissa. Okay, who am I talking to? What are their problems? Like, how can I find that group of people and give them exactly what they are looking for? And like you said, Sean, like, which one are you going to go back to? It's that second store. So yeah. Which email list are you going to stay subscribed to? Who are you going to purchase from? Who are you going to tell your friends to go subscribe to? It's that person who is actually meeting your needs, helping you solve problems. They understand who you are, versus the person who's just like sending out a ton of emails. It might be a high quality like newsletter or mm-hmm. whatever it is, but they're still not taking that personalized approach. And making sure that they're serving their subscribers in a really, I don't know, targeted way.
Yeah, definitely the specificity there. Like the goal should be when someone comes to your website or social profile or whatever, that they say, oh my gosh, this is exactly for me. Or they say, oh my gosh, this isn't for me. But it shouldn't be like mm-hmm. self-help tips. You know, it should be
right.
like self-help tips for millennials who just changed careers from this job to the end. And then it's like, whoa, this person is like speaking to me, automatic opt-in. And the scale of the internet means that like there's going to be a lot of people who fit that
right.
very specific thing that you're talking about.
Do you have any tips, or have you helped anyone through that process of kind of finding their niche and how to really narrow in their target audience?
Yeah, more with myself, because in the past year for these email courses, I've worked mostly with like established creators, and they kind of know their niche and they know what problems they want to solve for people. But I've gone through many iterations of this myself with like, what do I want to talk about? And like, generally, I like, you know, meditation and mindfulness and that sort of thing is like a broader topic. I guess the broader topic still would be like maybe stress relief or something. But yeah, I experimented a couple years ago. I told you guys I'm not on social much in general, but I did experiment a couple years ago with Twitter and writing on there pretty consistently for a little while. And yeah, I would play with different like tuning that in a little bit more. Like, are we talking about meditation for people, for like busy executives who want to relieve stress? Or are we talking about meditation for someone who's kind of skeptical of meditation and doesn't want all the woo-woo and just wants step-by-step? Or are we talking about meditation for people who, you know, want to get in touch with themselves spiritually? Like, those are all three very different groups of people, where if they came to just general meditation, they might say, everybody's teaching general meditation. But if someone said, I teach meditation to executive coaches so they can, you know, have less stress and give better speeches and things, then it's like, oh my gosh, that's exactly for me. So that's kind of the power of specificity.
I love that.
I was going to ask, what do you think causes people, I know we're kind of going into like, why should people create an email course, but why do you think people maybe get sidetracked and spend their time doing other things? Like you mentioned, like focusing on, you know, that open rate that maybe isn't super accurate to what is actually going on or what you could be focusing on. Like, what do you think causes people to be distracted by other things and not spend time maybe thinking about what they could do with an email course?
Yeah, I think actually one of the biggest reasons that I see for people avoiding it is because they think it's this big lift. It's going to be this big, heavy lift. But I think the word course in particular, like we almost need a different name for it. People think of a course and they think of like a professor teaching a course, or they think of this amazing like 30 modules online course with videos and like interactive homework and stuff. But really an email course is 5 short blog posts. Like that's really it. It's like 400 to 800 words is what I would recommend for the length. So if you can write 5 short blog posts, you can write an email course. And towards the end of this episode, I'll share like a do it in a week sort of thing, a little challenge to see if we can do an email course in a week, because it's very doable. I've done it many times. So yeah, it does not need to be a huge lift. That's actually another thing too, is that a lot of creators have been sitting on like this amazing course for years and years. Like they've got this idea for a course and they know they should make it. This is a great way, an email course, just a little like side benefit to have like a version one of a course that you want to do. Because not only will you be delighting people as they come into your world, as they come into your audience, but you'll be testing the concepts of the course. So you could have like a sort of boiled down version of what the big course would be. And at the end of each lesson, you could say, hey, like, was there anything I missed in here? Anything you wish I talked more about? So you're getting this feedback loop of people who are going through the free course. And that whole time, you're not only building an audience, but like refining your ideas for the big course. And it'll boost your confidence just to like, oh, I've made this. And here I have 300 people who have said they enjoyed it and would be potential customers for the full length course.
I love that. I'm so guilty of what you just described. Like, I have thought so many times about creating a course of some sort. And I always, like, my brain is crazy. I go straight to like masterclass. I'm like, okay, I need the best camera you've ever seen. I need the best audio in the world. I need a teleprompter. I need an outfit. I need, like, I don't know what's wrong with me. That's the only place I go. And I've never even thought about doing like a lower effort version. And it's like, yeah, Alyssa, start with just an email course that's free. And like,
I need an outfit. I love that.
I'm not kidding. Like, I've looked at equipment rental. It's like crazy. And I've created so many different like course accounts and the made outlines and all this stuff. And I only have ever seen it as like, it has to be the course on deliverability. That's like a college course. It's so crazy. And yeah, Sean, you really helped me see this in a different light where it's like, no, I can just do this other version that I'll actually have time to do. I actually probably already have all the content I need for it.
Yeah.
I just need to put it together. And it'd be a great way to introduce people to my email list, give them that value you talked about right off the bat. And I love that idea of getting feedback. I can learn which, you know, emails in the course are resonating the best and are really helpful and which ones need like a little more refining, so that I'm not putting some huge dollar amount on a course and learning that after the fact and people have paid and it's like much more high stakes. So
yeah,
I'm so glad you're here to tell us about this because I need to hear it.
Well, I'm excited for your course, Alyssa. I think you should build it out. Just build out the, you know, take a week. You could take 2 weeks for the 1 week challenge. It's fine. I know you're busy, but like cut the
moms
time
get
in half.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Moms get 2 weeks. Exactly. But yeah, just build it out, start getting the feedback from it and you'll like feel the confidence to make that bigger course. But I think what you said, a lot of creators will resonate with is that they care so much about their topic. It's a good thing. They're passionate about what they teach. So they want to put out the course on it. And they're like, this is going to be my core, my flagship course. And that creates all kinds of pressure. And if you look at like some of the most successful courses, most of them started out like really small or just like a written, like one blog post or something that people were finding helpful. And then it slowly expanded. It didn't just start out as, you know, here's 50 modules and I'm going to have coaches and cohorts and all this. That's great to get to. And that's great if you already have it. An email course can drive people to that. But it certainly doesn't need to start there.
I think it also goes back to like what we were just talking about, you know, serving specific kinds of people. And, you know, a 50 module course like that, to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so overwhelming to think about being the person who's taking the 50 module course. Like,
yeah.
I might just want those 5 blog posts. Like, I might be someone who's like dipping my toe in the water to whatever topic this is. And I just want to know the basics. So I think it's like also a good reminder when we talk through all of this, I'm like, oh, interesting. Because as the creator, I think I would do the same thing as you, Alyssa, and go initially to like, I want the best and I want to make the best. And I want this to be the most impressive because I have a lot to share and I want people to like find it helpful. And I do that all the time when I'm creating content, even just for work. I like overthink it and I want it to be perfect. And then I procrastinate or I get in my own way because at the end of the day, like it might be helpful for someone, but they just need it in front of them.
Yeah. What you said about dipping your toe in the water too is important because one of the main things I recommend using these for is like a lead magnet, like an entryway into your list. So it's for people who probably have just discovered you, maybe you made a social post and it did well and new people found you and there's a link to this email course that you have and they join it. So they're just learning about you. They're just dipping their toe in the water. They don't want 30 modules or maybe they're new to the topic too. But that's actually where I'd recommend starting with one of these courses. It's just like a crash course, taking someone from zero to one on whatever it is you teach.
So let's imagine someone listening right now is convinced. They're like, all right, you convinced me about why this is important, why it can help me, why it can help subscribers. Maybe let's get into where they can start. So I know you've mentioned there are four types of email courses that you talk about. Can you walk us through those so that people can start to imagine what their email course might look like?
Yeah, certainly. And I will credit Nicholas Cole with these four types of email courses. He has a great book called The Art and Business of Online Writing. Really good stuff for any creator, anyone who's writing anything online. But yeah, he came up with these four types. And I think it's just a good framework if you know the topic that you want to talk about, but you're not quite sure how to structure the email course. So one is the one I just mentioned, like a crash course. And the idea of this would be to take someone from zero to one on the topic. So maybe they just discovered you, maybe they're new to the topic. You know, if we take meditation, maybe it's someone who's never meditated before and they just kind of want to learn, what are some common mistakes to avoid? Where should I start with this? What are some tips? What are some resources? I usually recommend ending this one on the fifth day with like resources to learn more if they want to keep expanding. But that's the general outline for the crash course, just getting someone from zero to one and the basics. The second type is step by step. So this is like five linear steps to get someone to X result that they want to get to. So maybe you teach finances or something and you're going to improve your credit score by 100 points. Step one, do this. Step two, do this. Step three, do this. I'm going to walk you through these five steps in order. You'll follow them and hopefully get X result. The third kind is biggest mistakes. So the format for this one's pretty simple. It's just brainstorm some of the biggest mistakes that people make in the area or niche that you teach in and just lay them out. So day one is mistake number one, how to avoid it. Day two, mistake number two, how to avoid it. Day three, mistake number three, how to avoid it. And then the last one is resources and templates. So this would be 5 days and each day would be a new, really practical thing that they can use. And this is highly dependent on like what kind of creator you are, but this could be ChatGPT prompts. This could be recipes. This could be scripts to use, but it's basically something really tangible that someone could use. And you give the resource and then you say kind of benefits of using it, how to use it, and you do five of those in a row. So those are the four times. So the crash course, step-by-step, biggest mistakes, and resources.
Those are great.
Yeah. I have so many ideas flowing already for each of them, for like all different sorts of creators.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're listening to this, if you're a creator and you're like, I have like five ideas for email courses, like great, build one, do the 1 week challenge thing, make your first one. The ideal that I've seen here and the most effective way I've seen these used is that you have multiple, either for different personas of people who interact with you. So let's say I was a meditation coach and I wanted to reach all those people. I could have these curated like different doorways into my world, which are like, okay, executive CEOs are coming in with this email course that's going to speak directly to them and solve a problem for them. People who want to expand their consciousness and do more of the woo-woo stuff. Like they're going to come in through this doorway and I'll help them here. So it's just creating these really like curated, personalized, helpful doorways for people into your world. And they can all, you know, you could pin these to your social profiles. You could, every time you post about executive coach meditation, you put a link to that course. Every time you post about the woo-woo meditation, you put a link to that course. And they just become these flywheels, as we've said, for bringing people into your business.
That's so helpful.
Is it bad that the email course that I feel like I'm like the biggest mistakes one is like, I just have a million ideas.
No, that's actually the one, that or the step-by-step is usually the one I recommend because it's just such a simple format to follow.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I feel like it's good at like kind of that brainstorming. Like I can already think about even just talking about like email blunders, you know, like things people like the you got caught in 4K thing. Like, don't use this subject line in your email. Yeah. So funny.
One thing you're reminding me that you mentioned in your email to me about a potential course that I would love for you to talk more about was creating like its own landing page.
Yeah.
so that you have a specific URL to send people to. Can you talk more about that and why that's so important?
Yeah. So it's great to have an email course. That's step one. But step two is getting traffic to it and getting people to convert to it. So what I would recommend is having a one-page landing page. So ConvertKit makes this super easy. You go one-page landing page in ConvertKit that leads into your email course, and then buy a domain just for the email course and make it something really easy to remember. You know, let's say you like, you're a lawn care expert, coming up with these weird examples. Let's say thelawncareblueprint.com. That's the name of your email course, but something really easy to remember. And the reason you do that is so when you're promoting this, so whether you're going on podcasts and you're saying it, it's really easy to remember. Or if you are posting on social profiles and you're pinning it there, every time you make a tweet about lawn care that does really well, you put it right there. As driving people to this landing page where the only thing they can do on the landing page is opt into the course. So a lot of people will put it as an opt-in on your website, which is fine. But websites tend to have a lot of tabs, a lot of places to look, and are distracting. Conversion rates on a one page that leads right to the email course are way higher. Like I'm talking like over 50, 60% I've seen, compared to like a website where the conversion rate on an email list is 5 to 15% or something.
That's so helpful. I think, you know, I might have thought about the landing page thing on my own, but the whole creating a domain just for that course was a totally new concept to me. And it makes total sense. Like, especially when I've been on these podcasts like Amy Porterfield's, you know, it's like that was such a missed opportunity. I could have had this domain ready to go. And I probably would have been like, you need to go to deliverability.ck.page/course number one, you know, whatever. That's like always what I have this really long thing for people to go to. And obviously, I doubt many people are doing that. So I love the idea of having a really easy to share domain to go straight to that course. It's brilliant.
And guess what? If you wanted to buy that domain, you can do it in ConvertKit now.
Yeah.
So yay.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Makes it super easy. Are there any other like super pro tips you can think of like that one where someone might not know it without having your level of insight and expertise?
I could just some more general tips for just making an effective email course. Like I said, length of each email, shoot for like 400 to 800 words. That's not a strict thing. I've seen ones shorter and longer. The more important thing is that you're giving value and helping the person. A little thing, and this is helpful for all emails, this actually also comes from that book on Art and Business of Online Writing. Most people, when they read an email or they read anything online, first thing they do is skim the headers. So they don't like start at the top and read it like a book and read down. They open the email, they scroll to the bottom, how long is this thing going to be? They read each of the headers and they're like, is this going to be worth my time? So as you're making your email course, format the headers so that they're really benefit driven and they explain like exactly what you're going to get and what you're going to see. So it should be really clear from the headers, like make the headers tell a story, in other words, of like what they're going to learn in each lesson. The other important thing for email courses is to make them feel like more of a curated journey instead of just five blog posts strung together. At the beginning of each one and the end of each one, just do a little framing of like, here's what we're going to learn today. End of the lesson. Here's what to expect tomorrow. That also kind of teases the next lesson and makes them sort of look forward to it. Helps with open rates and everything. By the way, open rates on these, at least all the ones I've made, way higher than your typical newsletter send.
I bet.
So I worked with a creator I can talk about. But yeah, some of them I can't talk about, but he's given me permission to share. His name is Johnny Miller. So he has a course on nervous system mastery. I think it's like $1,500 or something. But he helped him make a free email course to bring people into that and grow his audience. And I think within the first month, he had like 1,400 or something. So people joined the free course. But his open rate is average like 70% for the email course. And I also built one of these for my my employer, which is odd because they're not a creator. It's a doctor's office. And I was like, hey, this is working really well for creators and people online. Do you mind if I try it? And luckily, I have a pretty open-minded CEO. And he was like, sure, let's give it a shot. It's now the number one thing that brings people into the practice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's done an 85% open rate on ours. So it's like crazy, these versus emails. And I think it's because people just know, they know what they're getting into. Like they know exactly what they're signed up for. Okay, you're going to send me an email a day for the next 5 days. They know the outcome they want to get. So it's really clear versus like a, hey, tips and tricks once a week kind of thing.
I love that example. And it reminds me of something I'd love for you to talk more about, of having an email course, whether you're a doctor's office or a creator, can help you establish a level of credibility and be like become more of a thought leader.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you make one of these, like pin it to your socials, mention it on every podcast you appear on, where you could run paid ads to the one-page domain once you set up that landing page. Anything you're already doing for marketing, this is just like pours fuel on the fire, basically, having one of these.
I love it. We talk about that a lot at ConvertKit, working in public and how much it really does help you become known as like the expert in your field, is almost just the one who's sharing the most and sharing the most knowledge. So this is a great way to do that.
I feel like it can be intimidating, like the concept of being like a thought leader can, for some, especially creators starting out, can be kind of like an intimidating thing. But what's cool is like you have, like you're saying, fueled with fire, Sean, like of being able to, like if you go on a podcast as a guest, you have this like authority by having this course. So I've been a guest on other podcasts before, and I feel like having a course like that would have been so great to be able to like, almost like, yeah, boost your confidence and know like, hey, I put in the time and the work and I have this course and it shows that I have this knowledge. And even though like you may know going into that podcast that you do have that knowledge, it's like all down on paper. So it's real. It's not just in your own head, which is kind of like validating again. Clearly, I need a lot of validation. Talk about it all the time.
Yeah. And the word, we talked about how the word course can be overwhelming if you're thinking about making one, but it's also a point of credibility that this person has a course. So like imagine just two social profiles side by side. One of them says, let's come up with another weird example. I tweet about fish tank, keeping your fish tank clean is one. And then the other says, I tweet about keeping your fish tank clean. By the way, join the Fish Tank Blueprint. It's my free 5-day email course where I'm going to walk you through the biggest mistakes people make. Automatic, more credibility for the psycho person, even if they're brand new. Both accounts could have, you know, 10 followers, brand new accounts, but automatically because they have a course, it just positions them more as a thought leader there.
This reminds me so much actually of someone I follow on Instagram for gardening, which I have not done anything with, but I'm like one of those people that really wants to start a garden every year. And then I'm like, oh, maybe next year. But I follow her on Instagram, and I imagine there are thousands of people on Instagram talking about gardening, but she takes it with this approach of courses, teaching. So now I really see her as this expert. She almost has 1 million followers, so I'm not the only one. And she has so many different courses on like lots of different parts of gardening. So it might be like how to grow your own salad, you know, station in your backyard, or how to specifically grow herbs or whatever. And so I love that she makes it really accessible in these little bite-sized courses like that. And then she sells all kinds of stuff like books, and she actually sells like gardening supplies. So she's got all the facets covered. But I think the fact that she approaches it from that like learning and teaching approach right off the bat, like all her videos on Instagram, I have it pulled up, are reels teaching you things. And so she's like one of my favorite Instagram followers that eventually I will do what she says to do and I will garden. But she, when I was looking for someone to follow, like because she has those courses, I gravitated to her.
Are those free or are they like low price courses? Just curious.
She has some free ones. I'm pretty sure I did sign up for some of her email courses. Did I say it's Gardenary Co., in case anyone's interested? She has workshops. That's the first email pop-up I got, was join the Gardener's Side Hustle workshop. She's also teaching people how to like teach people as well. She's really got it covered.
She's figured it out.
Yes. If I click courses, start your own kitchen garden, Kitchen Garden Academy 2.0. I think a lot of these are free. So very interesting.
Yeah, it sounds like she's got a lot of bases covered there. And you can almost think of it like the same way people think about doing SEO articles, like where it's like any question people are asking, oh, let's try to have an article on this, like people who are brand new to gardening, or let's try to have an article on experienced people who already have a garden outside, but maybe they want a kitchen garden. And instead of an article, it's just having an email course on each of those is just so much more powerful, because you're bringing people into your email inbox, you know, your owned audience versus rented audience. You guys talk about that a lot, but you're bringing them into your world, you're growing your email list and having these personal pathways in.
So smart. Okay, I want to make sure we get to your challenge because now I'm fired up. I'm like, I'm ready to do this challenge. So
I just have a lot of ideas for everyone else. So I don't know what that means about me.
Which I'm jealous because I think Sean gets to do this all the time of like just sit down with people and have ideas for them and help them create courses.
Yeah. Well, it's like the worst party trick of all time is like, tell me your creator business and I'll tell you an email course you can build. By the way, thank you guys for letting me be excited about email. There's not many venues where that's like socially normal.
This is it.
You're in the right place.
So yeah, this has been really fun so far. Thank you.
Yay. Yeah, this is a safe space to be an email nerd. So let it all out. Okay, I'm ready. Tell us about your 1 week email course challenge.
Okay. I'm posing this challenge to listeners because, as I mentioned, one of the big hurdles with these is I don't have time to build an email course. And I want to dispel that myth by having you take some action. And I'll just say now, if anyone does this and follow these steps, I'll give you my personal email address. I'll say it at the end here. It might be in the show notes too. And I will go through your email course and give you feedback on it.
Take him up on this because Sean is the most helpful person ever. Like, you have to do this if you're listening.
Okay. So the challenge is block off 90 minutes a day in your calendar for 7 days. If you're a mom, you get 14 days, as we've established. Day one, decide on your course topic and choose one of the four formats. So as a reminder, crash course, step-by-step, biggest mistakes, resources, and templates. So you're just choosing topic and format there. That one's going to take you less than 90 minutes. Day two, outline your course. So if it's five biggest mistakes, that's pretty simple. Just one first mistake, second mistake, third mistake, how to fix each one. And under each day, like 3 to 4 bullet points. And then, well, we didn't talk about this much, but if you have something that you want to promote with this email course, I'm not saying don't promote and sell things at all. I know I said it'd be helpful first, but you can do that in a really subtle way. The way I usually do this with clients is day 2 and 4 in the PS. So 90% value helping them solve a problem. And then just a PS at the bottom. Hey, if I do coaching services on this. If you're interested, here's my Calendly link to book a call. Thanks. So you're just plugging that in day 2 and 4 if you have something for sale, optional. So yeah, day 2 is just outline 3 or 4 short bullet points under each day. Day 3, you're extending your outline. So you're going through your existing bullet points that you did the day before and expanding that into maybe 3 or 4 sentences for each bullet point. So just examples, stories, metaphors, tips, any way you want to expand it. Day 4, you're going to be writing the first, technically 4 days of the email course. So day 0, 1, 2, and 3. Day 0, what I do is just a welcome to the course. Here's what you're going to learn over the next 5 days. Super short email. It's literally just outlining why they signed up. You guys talk about this a lot. You can have the clear opt out there to help with deliverability. So 0 to, just here's the 5 days. Here's what to expect. And then day 1, 2, and 3, you've outlined the day before and you're going to write those out. And the reason we spent 2 days outlining is it makes the writing part a lot quicker. You can plug this into ChatGPT. You can plug your extended outline in and say, I'm writing a 5-day email course, make it from 400 to 800 words or so. Here's my extended outline. That will get you at maybe 50, 40 to 60% of the way there, depending on how good ChatGPT is feeling on that day. And then you do the rest and kind of make it feel like you and give it your personal touch. But that can make the writing part much easier once you got the outline. So that's day 4, was writing those first 0, 1, 2, and 3. Day 5 is to write the last 2 days, day 4 and 5. Day 6 is to, now that you've gotten all the emails written, you could do that anywhere, like Google Docs, whatever. Copy and paste them over to ConvertKit and build a 5-day sequence. ConvertKit makes that super, super easy, visual automations, and then put them 1 day apart. So 24 hours apart, just have it drip out for 6 days. So it's the 5 days plus the day 0 welcome email. And then as you're doing that, you're kind of editing and proofreading, just making sure there's no obvious typos or anything. But don't go overboard here. Again, version 1 of the course, like just get it out there. So day 7, the last day, create a simple landing page in ConvertKit and link it to your email sequence. So again, that 1-page landing page, go buy a domain name, do that in ConvertKit now, super easy. Link it to your landing page and then share the landing page. Post it to your social bios. You can get fancy with that and set up automations on most social things where like if a post or tweet gets above 10 likes, automatically tag the link to my landing page. But yeah, that's it. And then you've got it launched. You've got it out there. You can do some fancy things too. Like we talked about making a course improvement flywheel by asking for feedback. So you could do this each day. You could do it at the end where you say like, how is this course for you? I'm looking to improve it over time. Like, what do you wish I talked more about? What lessons did you really like? What did you not like? And then you're kind of getting that feedback flywheel going for you.
Melissa, are you going to do it?
It's so funny. I just like never, we've talked about this a little bit on different episodes of podcasting that we've done, but I feel like I have so many ideas for other people. Like I just wish that I could be the kind of person who like goes around to like some of the influencers or the like Instagram people. I told you about my house thing. Like I want to go to the girl who I follow who posts about her 1950s house. And I want to be like, please create an email course about all these things that I want to know or have ideas for that. Like I have all these ideas for other people. So I just need to figure out what I can do.
You can use that in your job.
An email course on writing email courses. Just get really, really meta.
This is actually so helpful to discuss this and talk about it from even just, for my job, like giving people deliverability audits, like, and seeing what they're doing. It's every time I talk about the kind of the marketing side of what helps in deliverability, having these conversations is always really eye-opening. And it's like a nice change of pace than talking about the metrics and trying to explain it to people in a way that all of these things that you're talking about will help improve an open rate. Like that's what's so cool about it is that you're doing all this work and you're improving other systems in your business and metrics in your business. And it's just really cool. So I love being able to talk about this stuff because it's like a nice change of perspective, I guess, on how we can talk about things in a way that like creators will be able to understand from their lens.
Yeah, thanks. I definitely do see that it has a ripple effect when people join. So we talked about the high open rate in the email course itself, but you know, when you're starting a relationship off with helping someone solve a problem and 5 days of really valuable emails, you're also like showing them that, hey, when I send you an email, it's going to be helpful. It's not a marketing email. I'm a real person. I'm going to help you solve a problem. So it improves open rates 6 months, a year into the future versus just like sign up for this newsletter and maybe you'll get an email from me in a couple of weeks kind of thing.
Yeah. I think when people think about deliverability and improving deliverability, they think it's like some, you know, all these technical things they need to do, which sometimes it is, but a lot of times like the root thing to really make your deliverability good is this, like what we're talking about right now, providing this amazing value upfront, immediately getting people really engaged, you're going to have great deliverability. So it is really fun to approach it this way instead of getting too into technical weeds when a lot of times what people really need to do is something like this where they are providing so much more value to their subscribers right off the bat. Exciting.
I just realized I never gave my email. So yeah, if you go through the challenge, email is sean.pat. So Paul Apple Thomas, I guess, .stewart@gmail.com. So sean.pat.stewart@gmail.com. That's my personal email. That's if my mom sends me an email, that's where it goes. So I will I will get your email if you send it to me there, but only if you do the challenge. I mean, not really. If you have an idea for an email course, if you're not sure where to start, just happy to help.
Sean is amazing. Really, you have to take him up on it. Like at least anything I've seen from him is so extremely helpful. And Sean, if somebody was like, you know, I want to do this, I don't have time. Do people pay you to actually build this for them? Or are you more so just kind of giving general advice?
Yes. So I do work and build these and ghostwrite and build the whole thing for people. I've done that a lot in the last year. To be honest, I usually do one-on-one reach outs to like directly to people. That's the main way of growing that little side hustle. It's just reaching out to people one-on-one. I really like to work with like wellness businesses and you know, nervous system related meditation, that whole area, but more than happy to assist anybody and give some ideas at the minimum.
That's so nice of you. Thank you for giving our listeners that chance. Yeah. I know you have so much wisdom and knowledge to share.
Thank you.
Perfect. Well, this was one of my favorite episodes ever. Thank you for joining.
This was so fun to talk about.
It was. Maybe we'll have to have you back on again. Season 6.
I would love to.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I hope you all have a good rest of your day.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Deliverability Defined.
Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening. And if you have time, please leave us a review.
You can find a resource guide for today's show at convertkit.com/deliverability, where we outline all of the information you need to know from today's episode.
If you have a question or topic you want us to cover, let us know within the ConvertKit community or at convertkit.com/deliverability.
We'll see you next week.